Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Faithful Word Baptist Church tonight. It's good to see you all here for a Wednesday night service. Find your seats, please. Take a hymnal and go to hymn number 260. We'll begin tonight. Hymn number 260. He is able to deliver thee. Hymn number 260. And once you find your place, we'll begin together singing on that verse. 260, 'tis the grandest theme through the ages rung. Hymn number 260. Lift your voice together now. 260.
'Tis the grandest theme through the ages rung. 'Tis the grandest theme for a mournful tongue. 'Tis the grandest theme that the world bears sung. Our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Oh, I send a blessed hope to him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. 'Tis the grandest thing.
Before the Lord and ask his blessing on the service, so if you would bow your heads together with me. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you tonight. We just give you the thanks for bringing us here safely to church this evening. We ask that your blessing upon us, Lord, as we come before you now and just assemble and sing these praises unto you. We ask that you'd fill us with your spirit. Help us to be edified and encouraged as we sing out these songs and hymns unto you. Help us to focus on the words as we're singing them. And Lord, that you'd also just open our hearts and ears to hear the message tonight, and that you'd fill the preacher with your Holy Spirit, fill him with power and unction, and that he may preach boldly with authority and with clarity, and that you just give him the words to speak, and that all that's said and done would give you the honor and the glory that you deserve for it, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Back to hymn number 258, 258, Christ receiveth sinful men. Hymn number 258. Sinners, Jesus will receive. Hymn number 258. Sing it out with me on that verse now. 258.
Sinners, Jesus will receive. Sound this word of grace to all. Through the heavenly pathway lead. All who linger, all who fall. Sing it o'er and o'er again. Christ receive a sinful man. Trust him, for his word is plain. He will take the sinfulest. Christ receive a sinful man. Sing it o'er and o'er again. Christ receive a sinful man. Make the message clear and plain. Christ receive a sinful man.
Now my heart condemns me not, nor before the law I stand. He who cleansed me from all spot.
Right, at this time, we're going to go over the bulletin. So if you need one, please raise your hand and we'll get you one as soon as we possibly can. So if you have your bulletin, go ahead and open it up and we'll quickly go over it. On the left side, we have our service times, so many times, and at the very bottom, salvation and baptisms for the year. Once again, happy anniversary and happy birthday to everyone that had one this month. The donuts that we had on Sunday was a way for us to appreciate you. And right at the bottom, an announcement on Pastor Corbin Wetzel from Straight Path Baptist Church down in Tucson. You know, he will be here on Wednesday, June 18th to preach for us on a Wednesday night service, and that will be at 7 p.m. Go ahead and turn your bulletin around. Once again, more information about the Father's Day weekend soul winning hiking trip that's going to be on Friday, June 13th. The schedule's right there for Friday, and it's going through Saturday, June 14th. The schedule's right there for the 14th. Now, the next announcement is about our first Fridays that we do, and join us in downtown Phoenix. It'll be on June 6th, 6 p.m., and the meetup is right there, you know, by the Phoenix Library, and the address is right there as well. You can take a look at that when you get a chance, and also if you have any questions, talk to Brother Tilson if he's here. I believe he is. He's back there raising his hand. So if you don't know who that is, talk to Ramon, talk to me, talk to somebody and ask who is Brother Tilson, and we'll get you to him. Amen. All right, the upcoming events are right there. Take a look at those when you get a chance. Obviously, the Fire Breathing Baptist Fellowship in Texas. You know, that is one thing that somebody asked me earlier this week, if we can provide for hotels for anybody that wants to go down there. Right now, I don't know. Pastor gets back on Saturday night. You know, if we can afford it, we definitely will do it. We've always done it, you know, in the past. You know, at least provide hotels for anybody that wants to go to any of these conferences. You know, so if we have the finances, for sure we'll take care of it. So if you guys are also wondering the same thing, I want to go, but I don't know, it's kind of pricey, the hotels. I don't know if we can afford that, whatever the case may be. You know, I'll get with you guys as soon as I speak to Pastor, and obviously Pastor will be here. He's Lance at midnight on Saturday, so he'll be preaching this Sunday. Other than that, take a look at those announcements, and let's quickly go over the soul winning for the week. If you got somebody saved on Monday, go ahead and raise your hand. I'm going to start with my left side. So if you got anybody saved, go ahead and raise your hand. We got one right here. Any salvation? Three? All right, we got three over here, Brother Alex. Anybody else for Monday, Tuesday? Four? All right. Any other salvations for Tuesday? And today. Daniel, go get someone saved ASAP. Oh, never mind. We got one right over here. All right. I was about to say. It's okay. Any other salvations? Going once, going twice. All right, Brother Daniel.
All right, turn your hymnals. Hymn number 134, hymn number 134. My anchor holds. Hymn number 134. Though the angriest surges roll on my tempest-driven soul. Sing it out with me on that first now, 134.
Though the angry surges roll on my tempest-driven soul, I am peaceful for I know, hardly though the winds may blow, I've been anchor safe and sure that can evermore endure, and it holds my anchor hold. Lord, your love is then a gale on my bark so small and
good singing, everybody. Go up to hymn number 459, hymn number 459. Fairest Lord Jesus, hymn number 459. Fairest Lord Jesus, ruler of all nature, hymn number 459. Sing it out together on that first verse now.
Fairest Lord Jesus, ruler of all nature,
at this time we're going to pass the offering plate, and as we're passing around the offering plate, please turn your Bibles to Joshua chapter number 1. Joshua chapter number 1.
Joshua chapter 1, the Bible reads, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness in this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, "Pass through the host, and command the people, saying, Prepare ye victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan, to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites, and to the Gadites, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, Remember the word which Moses the servant of the Lord commanded you, saying, The Lord your God hath given you rest, and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord hath given your brethren rest, as he hath given you. And they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. And they answered Joshua, saying, All that thou commandest us we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us we will go. According as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage.
Dear Lord, thank you for Faith Word Baptist Church, Lord, and we thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us all be better Christians and to love one another more and to love the lost more and to better love you and serve you. And Lord, I pray that you'd fill Brother Segura with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. But real quickly, I got word from Brother Brock that his wife is expected to be released. Where's Brother Brock at? Monday? Tomorrow, Friday. She's been in the hospital with health problems, so he just wanted me to pray for her for a speedy recovery. So I'm just going to do that right now, if y'all don't mind. Dear Father, thank you so much for all that you've done, Lord. And obviously, Father, we have a need, so we ask you to fill that need. And not just that, dear Lord, whatever other needs that people have here in this auditorium, you know them. We ask you, Lord, to just bless them for being faithful to church tonight. And I ask you to just help Mrs. Brock just recover as fast as your will would allow. And I ask you to do this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, Joshua chapter number 1, the verse that I want to focus on is verse 8 that says, This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have, these are the two words that I want to focus on, good success. And I don't know about you, but I want to have some good success in my Christian life before I'm gone back and I'm on my way to heaven. You know, but what I want to do today is talk about success. And the title of my sermon is this, Sagan, the secret of my success. Sagan, the secret of my success. Go to Matthew 6:25, if you don't mind. Go to Matthew 6:25. Now, Sagan, I'm not referring to my son over here, even though I may talk about my son, Sagan, but this sermon is not about him. And even though this sermon has nothing technically to do with him, you know, he does have a little to do with my success, amen, especially when he prays. You are praying, right? There you go. But Sagan isn't just a word. It's an acronym that I use. It's a blueprint that changed my life, and it continues to help improve my life. And when people ask me about how can they start getting their life on track, this is what I like to show people. This is what I like to bring up. And obviously the acronym is S-A-G-A-N. And obviously Sagan, if you really want to know, I did name my son after this acronym. So how old are you now? He's going to be 16. So for the last 16 years, I've been using this to guide my life. And I want to tell a quick story about a girl named her name is Stephanie. I want to talk about a girl named Stephanie that I used to work with. I need to wake up a little bit. But this girl, Stephanie, I don't know if you remember Stephanie from work. You know, when I used to do security, I was in charge of the public safety at a mall in Palo Alto, California. And I'm just in my office one day, and I'm just sitting down doing paperwork. And out of nowhere, she just, you know, ends up just going in my office. She just opens the door, goes into my office, and just closes it really quickly. And then she starts crying. She's just crying her face off. And she just tells me, I'm sorry. Just give me a minute. I just needed to just get away. You know, I just need to calm myself down. And I'm just like, whoa, okay, no worries. We had a chair. I told her, go ahead and just take a seat, sit down, and just relax and just calm down. You know, that's all I can really think of at the moment. You know, so she's like, I'm just sorry. I don't mean to come in here and start crying. But, you know, I just got some really bad news. You know, I just found out that my boyfriend, which happens to be my cousin, is cheating on me. Oh, she's going crazy. And I'm thinking, oh man, you know, what the heck is about to happen? So she's just crying and she's upset and she starts just, you know, hating her life. I just hate my life. I just wish I could die right now. I don't know what I did. I don't know why he cheated on me. Blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. And then she's just like, I don't know. I don't know. She's like, how do you do it? How do you deal with all your stress? You're here all the time. You got like 100 kids. You're ever barely home. And I never see you break down. How do you do it? What's your secret? That's what she told me. Remember when I told you this story? And I'm like, you really want to know? I got one word for you. God. That's what came out of my mouth. God. And she's like, yeah, I should know that, you know. And so, of course, I try to get her saved, you know. So I'm like, listen, if you really want to know, because obviously the HR department, the human resources, would never approve of this. But she started it, so I'm going to finish it. She asked, so I'm going to tell her. I tell her, listen, I deal with the same stresses of life that you do, but honestly, if it weren't for God, I would probably be melting down, you know, because I do work a lot. I don't have a good assistant. I'm pretty much, you know, running solo right now, and you see me here way too many times, way too long, and I haven't taken a day off in who knows how many months or whatever the case, you know, but I told her, if you really want to know the truth, you know, God is the secret to my success. God is the reason I'm not breaking down. But if I can go back in time and give her more specifics, you know, I would tell her, you know what? Sagan. You know, Sagan is the reason I don't break down. What do you mean? It's an acronym I use to help me stay successful. And so, of course, let me just talk about this acronym that I have. You know, but nobody's ever asked me how to stay motivated, how to stay spiritual until that day. And ever since then, I don't think anybody's ever really asked me. But my kids, they know what I harp on. They know how I do business. So if you don't believe me, you can talk to them and they will verify a lot of what I'm about to say. You know, but if you're right there, where did I tell you to go? Matthew 6:25. You know, just stay in Matthew 6:25. I'm going to be in Matthew 7:7. You know, because in case you're wondering, how many acronyms does Brother Segura have? The quick answer is two. The one from last Wednesday and this one. I might work on some others, but hey, call it a Marine thing. Any Marines in the house? One Marine. I didn't even know that. So you know the acronyms, right? You know BAMSIS. Begin the planning, arrange the reconnaissance, make the reconnaissance, complete the planning, issue the order, and supervise. You still love to shoot, I hope. Okay, how about this one? BRASS. B-R-A-S-S. That helps you shoot, remember? When they're teaching you how to be a killer, how to get that nice little shot, how to hit something at 500 yards. Come on. Breathe, right? Relax. Aim. Stop. And squeeze. Oh, man, this guy. You sure you're a Marine? Hey, this is stolen valor, people. Get him out of here. Busted. Where's Brother Furbay when you need him? Is he around? Anyways, I think he's a real Marine. Sorry, Brother Dan. We're going to have to talk later, brother. But acronyms work. You know, I still use those acronyms today when I plan things, when I have to go check things out. I still use them today. So even though I don't, you know, approve of people just running into the military for obvious reasons, like no church, you're going to be in who knows where, fighting a war that is just to make someone super rich. So there's a list that goes on and on. But I think God, he loves acronyms. Why? Because of Matthew 7:7 and 7:8. Let me just quickly go over this in case you're like, man, what's up with these acronyms? I don't really like them. Well, I don't know, but you tell me if this is an acronym. Matthew 7:7, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Seems like that's an acronym that spells the word ask. And then he says it again, for everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be open. So I'm just preaching like Jesus tonight in case you're wondering if I'm biblical, amen? He used acronyms, I'm using acronyms. So let's get to the acronym. So the first letter, obviously, in the word Sagan is the letter S. And this is what it stands for in case I've never told you, which I'm pretty sure I've told some of you. But the S stands for this. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Enough said. Let's go home. Just kidding. But I told you to go to Matthew 6:25. I'll just try to go to the verses as fast as I can. Obviously, I'm keeping an eye on the clock. And let's start with verse number 25, I believe. It says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. It's not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? And the answer is yes. We're much better than the birds and whatever your favorite animal is. Verse 27. Which of you taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you? And here's the problem that a lot of us have. O ye of little faith. O ye of little faith. And what does it cause? Or what's the issue with having little faith? It can cause us to stress out. So, of course, how can we fix that? Well, there's a cool little verse in the Bible that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. So if you don't want to be a stress monkey, I highly recommend you start seeking the Word of God. How do I know? Let's keep reading. It says, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Not your righteousness, his righteousness. And all these things, what things? Eating, drinking, being clothed, they'll be added unto you. And take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So what are we learning here? What is Jesus saying? Listen, you have to learn to put me first in everything. That's the first hours of the day. That's the first of whatever money I give you. You have to learn to put me first. And I had to learn this lesson the hard way when I was going through the police academy back in 2004. Man, 21 years ago? Really? Am I that old? Good night. But anyways, obviously the police academy is very stressful. Right, Daniel? Besides being pepper sprayed, besides being beat up, besides the testing, besides the exercises, it's a very stressful time if you ever end up doing it. But of course, I never had any confidence in any test that I ever took except for one test. And one of the biggest things that I struggled with was giving God the first of my day. I struggled with that a lot. Daniel, what time did you start your academy? 5 a.m. You think he struggled with devotions? Don't answer that because we know. The answer is yes. But he's hardcore. In case you don't know, this man was up at 12:30 every night. Straight, gets up, gets going, starts praying for at least an hour, then right into the Word, starts reading for an hour, then he starts shaving and getting ready, putting on his uniform, then he gets into the car and he gets there, and he's there 30 minutes before class starts. He's there by 4:30 every morning. Right, Daniel? Yeah, right. He wishes. But the facts are that, hey, this one day where I got up and I'm like, oh, man, I think I'm good with this test. Oh, I looked at the clock. I'm like, man, I don't have too much time for devotions. The one day that I decided, you know what, God, you're going to have to forgive me. You know, please understand. I'm tired. I got to go. Got in my car and left. Well, took the test. And an hour later, when they checked them, because they checked them right away, they got the ability to do that. We're looking at the scores. And sure enough, I failed the only test I was super confident I was going to pass. But my wife, she wasn't my wife at the time, but she was always trying to like check in on me, see how I'm doing. And I was always saying, I don't know, I'm going to fail this test. I'm going to fail this test. I'm going to fail this test. Was there ever any time where I told you I got this in the bag? Except for that one time, right? And that's the one time that I didn't pray, I didn't read, I just got lazy, whatever the case may be, and sure enough, I just got in my car, took off, and that's the one test that I failed. Coincidence? I think not. But the rest of them, I had to make an effort to get up, pray, read, then get out of my house and go to the academy and hope for the best. And I don't know how, test after test after test after test after test, it was like 99.9, 95, 90 this, 90 that. And I'm like, how in the world is this even happening? But I was glad that it did. But I highly doubt it's because I, you know, skipped on my Bible reading or skipped on my prayer, which was very tempting to do. And you may be saying, well, brother, girl, can't you just wake up and just jump in your car and pray while you're in your car? Absolutely. But I recommend that when you get up, you just spend time with God and Him alone as much as you possibly can. Where did I get that from? We'll take a look at some things. And see, put God's kingdom and His righteousness before anything. That's where success really begins. And when I say again, the secret of my success, I've never ran a business. You know, I've never been rich. You know, I don't even know how much I got in my bank account. But at the end of the day, I got saved in 2002. It's already 2025. I'm doing pretty decent, and I'm still going out sowing, and I'm still reading my Bible, and I'm still coming to church. And I don't know what God was thinking when He decided to put me behind a pulpit 23 years later. But here I am. And all I can tell you is that if it weren't for these things, I don't think I would be here. And let me continue to explain why. And see, when you put God first, He gives you things that you didn't even expect, that you didn't even want, that you didn't even ask for. Best example is Solomon. Solomon put God first, did he not? He asked for wisdom to judge God's people, not for riches, not for the life of his enemies, not for fame. And God gave him those things anyways. Daniel said, I'm going to put God first no matter what. And what happened with Daniel? He purposed in his heart not to defile himself. And what did God do? God blessed them with wisdom and promotion. Mary, you know, Mary of Bethany, what did she do? She sat at Jesus' feet. And Jesus says she shows that part which is good. So what does this look like? What does putting God first, what does the S look like? Here's what I think it looks like. Here's a clue. Proverbs 8:17. I love them that love me and those that seek me early shall find me. Early. What do I mean by early? Early. Like getting up early. Let me give you some examples. There are several examples in the Bibles of prophets and godly people rising up early to pray, to seek God, or just to meet with Him. And the one I can think of right now, I got a list, I'll just give them all to you, is Abraham. Genesis 19:27 says this, and Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. See, this refers to his habit of standing before the Lord, likely for prayer, intercession, whatever your guess is probably as good as mine. Another person is Moses. Listen to this, Exodus 34:4. And he hewed two tables of stone like unto the first, and Moses rose up early in the morning, and went up unto Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hands the two tables of stone. This early rising was to meet with God. Joshua, listen to this, Joshua 6:12. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and the priest took up the ark of the Lord. See, Joshua is frequently, you know, shown rising up early to obey God, to lead the people. Let's talk about Hannah. Hannah, Samuel's mother. It says in 1 Samuel 1:19, and they rose up early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord. Let's take a look at David. Psalm 5:3. I preached about this last Wednesday. One of my favorite verses to motivate me to keep getting up. My voice should out here in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. Psalm 63:1. Oh God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. And obviously Jesus is the best example. Mark 1:35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. So we got Abraham, Moses, Joshua, Hannah, David, and Jesus all getting up early. Some just to stand before the Lord, some to meet God on Mount Sinai, some at obedience, some to worship the Lord, some for morning devotion, and Jesus just to get out of wherever he was at, just to be him and God alone. He got up early. And how early is early? As early as humanly possible is what I'm going to tell you right now. And of course, we all know that the body has limits. If you can go with 1 hour sleep a night, you're about to die. That ain't healthy. I know. But what would you say is a good sleep, you know, in regards to the human body? You guys tell me. What? 8 hours, right? If you talk to Arnold Schwarzenegger, he did all kinds of stuff when he was getting, you know, whatever, famous. He was going to, you know, I think he was going to work in the morning or to work out. Then he did like a construction job. Then he went to college to learn how to speak English. Didn't work so well, but whatever. But then he would go and do a second workout. Who's ever heard of that schedule? And he said, yeah, some people are like, yo, I need 8 hours of sleep. Well, you know what? I did it with six. So six is like the least that I hear from these guys that are successful people. But they all have one thing in common. They all get up early. Whether it's 8, 10 hours, whatever seemingly possible. The GOAT, the football GOAT. And please, nobody tell me Mahomes, okay? Who's the football GOAT? Come on, football fans. What?
Elway.
I'll help you guys out since you guys are backsliding tonight. It ain't Jerry Rice. It ain't Joe Montana. It's Tom Brady. Let's just face it. Yeah. Tom Brady, 7 Super Bowls. Should have had 10, but he had one of the crappiest coaches. And yes, I said it. Crappiest coaches in the history of the NFL. Tom Brady carried that man. I don't care what anybody has to say. You have a problem with me? Buccaneers. That's all I got to say. But Tom Brady, he didn't start out smart with his career. He was just partying, barely getting to sleep. It was affecting his health. Then he decided, hey, I want to do this for a long time. So he ended up getting on board with a healthier, I guess you could say, sleep schedule. And supposedly, Mr. Tom Brady will get up at 3:30 in the morning. But guess what time he went to bed? 7 p.m. if he could. He knew sleep is like your superpower. Sleep can help you better than any energy drink out there, and trust me, I know. Yes, I got to quit. I'm just confessing my sins. But I got coconut water now. Hopefully that can help me, you know, get weaned off. Ramon's like, yeah, I look at the garbage can. I know what's in it. Don't worry, I'm working on it before I die by next year. But all I'm saying is this. We got to be people that get up early. You have to. I'm telling you, if you ever notice Brother Segura not in his best mood, slacking off, you kind of notice that, hey, this guy, you can tell that he ain't all there right now. It's probably because of this. When I notice that I make excuses, I'm like, well, I can pray when I drive. You know what? I can pray, you know, during my lunchtime. God knows I overdid it. You know, I was out till midnight with Pastor Shelley, and I had to pick him up at 4:30 in the morning. God knows! Yeah, he knows you're being lazy. Do you really think God expects you, Brother Girl, to pray? Well, maybe he gave me a pass for that one, because I did pray. Lord, I don't know. I gotta roll. I got to jump in the car and go, or this man's going to miss his flight. I'll just pray on the way there. It's 15 minutes, Lord. Hey, I think God accepted that. But if you really don't think that this is important, you need to keep looking at scriptures. Early in the morning. Early, early, early. How early? I don't know. Depends on what time you go to sleep. But if you want to get up early and know what I'm talking about, you got to go to bed early. Right, kids? And that's my goal, is just to go to bed as early as I can, get up as early as I can. That's not going to mess me all up. Maybe 6, maybe 8 hours. Sometimes I need 10 hours to recover from what I did the previous couple of days when I don't sleep like I should. But my goal is always the same. Getting up early, it matters. It's what's going to cause God to meet you there. And of course, there are more examples. For example, Job 1:5. And it was so when the days of their feasting, word gone about that Job sent and sanctified him and rose up early, early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. Talking about his children. Job rose early to intercede for his children. And that's just a clear picture of early morning prayer and sacrifice. Jacob, it says, even though this is not necessarily about prayer, it could have something to do with prayer, but Genesis 28:18 says this, and Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillow and poured oil upon the top of it. It was to honor God. Now, he could have just woke up during the day or a little later, but I don't know why he chose early in the morning, probably because he wanted to just, I don't know, just get it done as fast as he could have. But obviously the disciples, Luke 21:38, and all the people came early, early in the morning to him in the temple for to hear him. To hear him who? To hear Jesus Christ. King Hezekiah, 2 Chronicles 29:20. Then Hezekiah the king rose early, early, and gathered the rulers of the city and went up to the house of the Lord. And of course, that's just him. Another example of getting up early. Mary Magdalene. You know, Mark 16:2, and very early in the morning. You see, early in the morning, early in the morning, early in the morning. This time is very early in the morning, the first day of the week. They came up to the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. Though not a prayer, you know, it just shows their devotion, their dedication, and they understand the importance of getting up early. Like it says, those that seek me early shall find me. So whatever time you go to sleep, hey, try to get up as early as possible. Hey, that's my goal, to get up as early as possible. And when I do, I enjoy my day a little bit better. Not always, but a little bit better. You know, I just feel like I was able to just spend time alone with God. Just me, pouring out my heart, casting all my cares because he cared for me. And I think it's important. And you think, if you guys think that I'm just up here, you know, just kind of like doing my own thing, hey, I like getting up early, and guess your favorite pastor loves to do that too. I don't know if that's him losing his rewards because I'm saying that, but I don't think so. So if you ever have him here at 10 p.m., 11 p.m., just remember, he wants to get up early so somebody do the right thing and just all leave. No, I'm just kidding. So what is the key thing that we see with all these verses? Here's why I think it's early, 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 early. Because by getting up early, and some people I've heard, especially people that have like success, you can say success financially or whatever. I heard people get up at 2:45 and they go straight to reading. I mean, I've heard people get up at 4:30. Jocko Willink constantly takes a picture of his watch and puts it on his Facebook. I'm up, I'm at the gym, 4:30. And I don't know, but somebody mentioned, I forgot who it was, that there's some kind of scientific about being up at 3 or 4 in the morning. That's where you have your most clear mind, where you can think the best, is from what I've heard. So if that's true, then that's the time that I think, if you're able to get up that early, to give that time to the Lord and not waste it trying to plan your next financial adventure, if you know what I'm saying. But getting up early, I think getting up early, you know, seeking God early shows your priority. Shows your priority to God. And it shows your love to God. See, God often shows himself to those that rose up early, like Jacob and Moses. And early prayer sets the tone for the whole day. You don't believe me? Go to Psalms 5:3 if you want. You can look at those when you get a chance. And when you see the leaders and the spiritual giants, they all have one habit. And what is that habit? Getting up early. Seeking God early. If you start at 5 a.m., Daniel, no excuses. Hopefully that's like the end of that. But it wasn't easy, was it? You knew what you had to do. You knew you still had to do your Bible. You know what I'm saying. You know, and let me ask you this. Hey, you made it through, right? And probably because you wanted it really bad, you probably spent more time praying than you usually did, right? By getting up early and praying, if you don't believe that it's something that's special, talk to Daniel. He has 6 months of it, correct? And he'll let you know. So that's the S. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Obviously, it's not just obeying God's word. I think literally seeking him first thing in the morning, your first hours, give him to the Lord. How long should I pray? Depends how much you have on your heart. Obviously, we all have a time schedule. If all you can do is 30 minutes, I think that's great. I try to aim for maybe that. But it is what it is. After that, you should be, besides getting up early, you should be reading your Bible as well. So give yourself enough time, whatever your goal is for the year, to finish it in a year, finish it in 120 days, 90 days, 30 days, whatever the case may be. You know what? We should all start reading the Bible early in the morning. But that's what the S stands for. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. I tell my kids that's getting up early. I try to get them up early. I haven't been pushing them as much. And this is kind of like a refreshment for me to just remind myself how important it is to get up early and pray and give God the first hours of the day. Super important. But of course, if you want to get up early, you got to go to bed early. So I'm going to start locking these doors at 8:30 every service from now on. Just kidding. I would never do that. I'm like, hey, you know what? We got push bars now. See you later. But the S stands for seek you first the kingdom of God. The A stands for always pray. Let me just read this. I know I didn't have you go anywhere, but if you want to go somewhere and meet me somewhere, I guess you can go ahead and go to Mark 5. Let's go to Mark 5. I'm just going to quickly go over the A. The A is always pray. I know I already spoke about it, but when I say always pray, pray throughout the day, pray when you drive. I mean, we see different examples of people praying throughout the day. Obviously, the most obvious example, people getting up early before day, where they got up to meet the Lord. Luke 18:1 says this, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always to pray and not to faint. So key thought, prayer is how we stay connected to God. You know, with prayer, we can get stronger. Without it, we will grow weaker. Here's some examples of people obviously coming to God for prayer because they needed something big. Hannah, she prayed earnestly for a son, and God gave her Samuel. Paul and Silas, what were they doing? They were singing praises in prison. You know, and what happened with him? Hey, God delivered them. And why? Because, hey, where two or three are gathered, there he is in the midst of them. And the apostles, man, did they pray. So you can pray when you're together. You can pray when you're alone. We can pray whenever, but just pray. And obviously, the apostles are a good example of prayer, but they prayed a lot because they're being persecuted a lot. Here's an example, Acts 4:24, when they're being persecuted. It says, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God one accord and said, Lord, thou art God. And I like their confidence. Thou art God. Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. They came with boldness. Why? Because that's what the Bible tells you to do when you come to God. So you're getting up early. You're seeking God. You're coming to Him. Well, come to Him like the apostles come to Him with boldness. Hebrews 4:16 says this, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Not just with boldness, but, you know, come to Him righteous. Obviously, I don't want to just talk about prayer, and not let you know that, you know what, there is a catch when it comes to prayer, and that's being righteous. James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of what? A righteous man availeth much. So don't just come to God boldly, come to God righteous. And of course, come to Him anytime. You know, it says in Matthew 21:22, in all things, whatsoever you should ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. So not just with boldness and righteousness, but also with faith. And just pray as much as you possibly can. Abraham's servant, he prayed for help. When he was in the middle of just praying, that's when Rebekah showed up at the well. And she watered his camels. So that's what the A is. I'll quickly finish with the other ones. It's not going to be a long sermon. But the G, it's something that our church does a lot, and I hope when I'm dead and gone, it will continue to do it for many, many years after that. But the G is to go ye therefore and teach all nations. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Matthew 28:18. Don't worry, I'll get to Mark. I'll tell you to go to Mark. Stay in Mark. You know, but Matthew 28:18 says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe also all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And of course, the word teach, you know, when it comes to teaching, you know, that's not just getting people saved. That's, I believe, like it says right there, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. And whatever way you can do that, do it. Whether it's through YouTube cards, giving people a YouTube card that takes them to a link to other sermons so they can learn God's word. Whether it's a mom teaching their kids, like the Proverbs 31 and or 30 and 31, teaching their kids what right and wrong is. You know, that's more than one way to teach. Not just giving the gospel, but teaching God's commandments to anybody and everybody that you possibly can. Co-workers, you name it. You know, we're commanded to preach the gospel. Soul winning is part of true success. Besides, obviously, seeking God first, that's real success. I don't know exactly where it is in the Bible. I forgot. But the story about the guy who has barns, that always comes to my brain. Because people have this warped idea that, hey, gain is godliness. Hey, I know I'm doing good. Look how I'm doing. I got a wife. I got my child. We're doing great. I got a house, whatever. Just like I said, I think in the last sermon, where I had some bozo that got kicked out of this church, you know, for being a racist, drug addict, idiot. You know, he ended up getting kicked out. And then he ends up messaging me like 3 months later. I'm pretty sure it's him. I'm not 100% sure. Talking about how, hey, how's your imprecatory prayers going? I'm thinking to myself, I don't think I really prayed an imprecatory prayer for this dude. But if he wants me to, you know what? I can start right now. But one of the things he said is like, I heard you said, oh, we'll never get a house. And I'm thinking to myself, why would I ever say that? That's not any sign of being righteous. Oh, I know this guy's a wicked individual because he doesn't have a house. Who the heck thinks like that? Wicked people do. How do I know? Because guess what? This guy in the Bible, he's building his barns. And then he has so much stuff, he's breaking down and building bigger barns. And then what ends up happening? He starts thinking, yeah, man, I got it really good. You know, I got the wife, I got the kid, I got the house. Hey, I got a lot stored up. You know what? I can't wait to retire. You know what? I'm just going to retire. I'm just going to take it easy. And this is a guy that's rich. It says that he was rich. But what did God call him in that parable? Thou fool. That's what he called him. Thou fool. Why? Because this person is rich. But if you keep reading that parable, it says something like, you know, woe unto them or something like that, that are rich, but they're not rich towards who? God. That's real success, when you're getting rich towards God. Not how much money you have, not whether you have a house or anything. That's not what's real in God's eyes. It's whether you're serving Him or not. That shows whether you're a wise individual, and that shows whether you're a successful individual. Not how much you make or what job you got. I don't care what job my kids have. I don't even care what job I have. I just happen to be in this one. You know, I don't care. But what I'm going to focus on is making sure that I keep that acronym SAGAN going, because that's somebody who's truly successful. Someone who's seeking God early. Someone who's praying. That's a successful individual. And I don't care what you do in life. I don't care what my kids do in life. As long as they're not breaking the commandments and they're still going to church, you know, that's a real successful person. But the individual that thinks, look how much I have. Man, I'm really, really good. No, you're not. You're a fool. And I highly doubt this individual is out knocking doors like you guys. I highly doubt this individual is going to church more than once a week. And who knows? But once a week is just going to make you weak. And sooner or later, it'll be once a month. And once a month is not going to be good for you. Then it goes to once every 3 months, then once every 6 months. The next thing you know, they'll say, oh, there's no good church in my area. But this is what we need to do. You know, we see it all over the Bible. We see Philip, the evangelist, giving the gospel to the Ethiopian eunuch. That's one-on-one, going above and beyond. I don't know about you, but I've never ran after a car to try to give someone the gospel. Maybe you have, but I haven't. And I'm not telling you to do it, but hey, here he did it. Peter, he preached to a big group. You know, soul winning is all over the Bible. This is something that you should do, you have to do, if you want to be a successful person, because without it, you cannot truly be blessed by God. The woman at the well, another one-on-one opportunity, is Christ showing us how he wants us to live our lives. He's just sitting around, a woman comes by, takes the opportunity to try to see if she's receptive, ends up getting her saved. But this is something that I think we all need to tell people to start doing right away. You're in Mark 5? Remember, Mark or Matthew 28:18 says, go ye therefore and teach. First thing he's saying, go teach, then baptize, and then teach them to obey whatsoever things are commanded. Mark 5:1 talks about the story of the guy that was devil-possessed. Let's just quickly go through it. It says, and they came over in the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountain, in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For he said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there, nigh unto the mountains, a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils inside this man besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And he ran violently down the steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told him how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him, asking Jesus to depart out of their coast. And when he was coming to the ship, here's the part that I want you guys to notice. Here's a guy who's just out of his mind, filled with devils. You know, constantly Jesus is casting out devils in the book of Mark. Then this person has these devils cast out of him. He's in his right mind. He's clothed. And not just that, but he wants to follow Jesus. It says, "Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but instead, Jesus baptized them." You guys see that, right? You guys see it in your Bible? Whoever say yep is crazy because it's not there. I don't know what Bible you're reading, but it doesn't say that Jesus baptized them. So here's a crazy dude. He has devils. He's going around cutting himself, just freaking out everyone. Jesus comes on the scene. This guy comes to worship him. Jesus says, "Hey, devils, get out of there. You know, go into the pigs." They go possess some pigs. They basically run off a cliff or whatever. The pigs drown. Then this guy's in his right mind. The people are freaked out. They don't know what to think. "Jesus, get out of here, please. You're freaking us out." Jesus is about to leave, almost about to get in his boat. This guy shows up, and he's like, "Yo, I want to go with you." But it says that Jesus suffered him not, but said, "Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee." What does that sound like? Soul winning. Evangelizing. So next time you're out there soul winning and you get some devil-possessed person saved, tell them, "You know what I want you to do now? Go get people saved." And I don't know about you, but I didn't get baptized right away. You know what got me on track was soul winning. Soul winning. The pastor's like, "Hey, you haven't been baptized, right?" "No, I haven't." "You want to get baptized?" "Nope. I'm good. Maybe later. Let me think about it. Do I really need to?" He's like, "Yes, you do. It's commanded." "Well, let me just wait." Because I was embarrassed. That's why. But when he kept saying, "Hey, come on, soul winning, you don't have to say a darn thing. Just show up as silent partner, I'll do all the talking." I'm like, "You know what? It's important. I see what you're doing. Hey, it makes sense to me. I'm saved. I should go out there and get somebody saved." And when he took me out soul winning, you know what? I went home and I started to clean up my life. I said, "You know what? I got to do better. I got to go out there and not look like a thug that just accidentally walked into church, because that's how I always dress like." Right, Joan? I had the beanie. No. I had the bandana and the beanie. Right? I'm all gangster with the bandana. Not gangster enough. Put the beanie on. Right? Poofy white jacket so the whole world can notice me because I'm an attention-loving idiot. Right? That's not enough. I gave myself a big AK-47 round, big chain around my neck, just trying to show everybody I'm hard. Remember that? And then back in the day, big baggy sweats were in style, so I try to look like Eminem with big gray sweats and whatever, tying my belt nice and tight, you know, so that way if I get into a fight, nobody can pull him down, and they're like, "Whoa, this guy, what's up?" Dumbest thing to walk around with and get into a fight is a pair of baggy sweats. Not a good idea. And I got the big sneakers, the white poofy sneakers, right? My wife's like, yep, remember you being an idiot. And when I noticed that it was affecting people, when I noticed that they weren't taking me serious, when I noticed that it was an issue, I'm like, "You know what? I can't let this get in the way of me getting somebody saved. I need to get right with the Lord." And then I ended up showing up with a suit, and they're like, "Who is this dude?" Remember that? The pastor's like, "Dang, bro, I thought some mafia guy just walked up in here." I'm like, "Whoa, that's Chris in the suit. I didn't even know you own one." I was like, "Yeah, well, you know what? When we went out soul winning the other day, I noticed that people look at me crazy. You know what? I need to do better. Thanks for taking me out soul winning. And I'm also interested in getting baptized." Can you help me with that? Of course, yeah, let's do this tonight, soon as possible. Remember that? And then from there, it just started getting more and more serious because of soul winning. So you run into that guy. Hey, 100% sure you're saved? Absolutely. Why? Jesus. Well, what do you mean? What do you have to do to go to heaven? Just believe on Jesus. Can you lose it? Nope. What if you end up committing a really bad sin, like murder? Nope. What about suicide? God forbid. You're saved, right? God forbid you do that. You know, where do you think you go? Still going to heaven, man. It's forever. Sweet. You know, so, hey, you know now that you're saved, you know what God wants you to do? He wants you to get other people saved. Are you doing it? Well, I'm kind of in my own little way, you know, because we can help you with that. You know, don't you want your family to get saved? Don't you want your neighbors to get saved? I mean, if there's anybody that you wanted to go talk to, man, we can give them the gospel. They can get saved. Yeah, you know what? I got a friend right down the street. But at the same time, what are you doing? Get yourself to a church where they'll take you soul winning. Come join us. And you know what? If you're not baptized, get baptized. Because I think it will help. That's what ended up happening. I think it was Owen. Do you remember Owen? The guy with the nose ring? I had a suit on. I went and went up to this kid, just dressed all crazy. Brother Madison probably remembers him. Remember him, Owen, with the big nose? Sure enough, I get him saved on a Saturday. I'm like, hey, what you doing Sunday? I don't know. He's like, you want to come to church? He's like, yeah. He's like, you know what? I usually don't listen to people, and I don't even think I had anything fancy. But this is what he said. He's like, I don't usually listen to people, but the way you look serious. You know, I just had to see what you had to say. And I'm thinking, cool, man. Well, I'm glad to see that, you know, wearing a suit in 100 degree heat kind of helps a little. You know, but it was what it was. You know, he just wanted to just up his game as well. You know, I don't remember. I think we took him out soul winning. Did we take him out soul winning? Maybe I did, maybe I didn't. But I spoke to him a lot about soul winning. And then I brought him to church. It was what it was. I took him to go eat at my house. Then after that, I'm talking to him about soul winning to go out with me, knock some doors. And he's like, man, can you do me a favor? He's like, what? Can you get rid of this nose ring? Never had that request before. And I'm like, sure, stand by. I got some wire cutters. I'm like, bro, if I get you, I'm sorry. Nah, you're good. Just go ahead and just take it off my nose. I'm like, all right, boom, pop that sucker right off. And no, that's what happened. We didn't make it a soul winning, but he really wanted to buy a suit or something. And I'm like, you know what? Let's go to the Goodwill, see what they got. Go to the Goodwill right here, 3 minutes away. Sure enough, he's going through clothes, and he didn't have really good fashion sense. I mean, he picked a really wild jacket. It had like gold buttons that looked like it belonged to a billionaire that owns a yacht. I'm like, bro, that's too flashy. Let's get you something a little bit better. And so we found something, got him in it, and man, it just made him feel really good. And he just wanted to take church a little bit more serious because he wanted to get somebody saved. That was the whole thing behind going and getting the suit and talking to people and looking serious about it. He's like, man, I need to do this. I need to get my friend saved. So I'm like, hey, if you want to get somebody saved, you kind of have to look serious, my bro. But that made him want to take it a lot serious. And I think he did get baptized right afterwards. But he had problems with drugs, and it is what it is. He got back into the same crowd as before. You know, he ended up basically going down that drug road again. Don't know where he's at right now, but who knows. But at the end of the day, this is the first thing that we should start telling people they need to do. Maybe it'll get them set straight. And so it's not just you going. So we're helping other people to go out and get people saved or start getting people to go out soul winning. Amen? Amen. All right, let me just wrap it up. I'm 47 minutes in. I'll make up for the hour and 30-minute sermon that Pastor Shelley has Sunday night. I'm kind of responsible for that. You know, in case you're like, man, brothers and girls, this is the most you've ever preached before. Hey, why don't you just, you know, share the love? Why can't we preach? Hey, if you want to preach, come hit me up anytime you want. But the biggest reason I didn't hit anybody up this time is because right before the boss went on his trip, he said this, I'm going to hold you responsible for anybody you put behind the pulpit, so make sure you put somebody good. Okay, time to write a bunch of sermons. Because I do not want to have somebody up here and say something wild. As he straight out said, I'm going to hold you responsible. If you have people preach, I'm going to hold you responsible, you know, for anything they say. And I'm like, okay. Well, if I'm going to get in trouble, I'm going to get in trouble for something that I said, not something somebody else said. Amen. But the next one, if you really want to preach, hit me up next time he's gone for this long. Amen. So we got the S, which is seek ye first the kingdom of God. We got the A, which is always pray. We got the G, which is go ye therefore and teach all nations. Now we got the A, which is in Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Or in other words, always grow. Always grow. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. You got to keep growing. That's part of the Christian life. That's part of being able to have success is keep growing, not just spiritually, but physically. I don't know about you, but I regret just giving up on working out. I wish I didn't do that. And hopefully I can get back into it, but it's hard to get back into it. You got to schedule things. And my message is, hey, don't just grow in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow also in stature. But don't grow like Donald Trump type of growing. Amen? Grow like, hey, I got to get in better shape to serve the Lord for a long time. Amen. That's the type of growth that I'm talking about. And where do I get that from? Let's take a look at these guys in the Bible. My favorite example is Jacob. Who knows what's Jacob when he said this? Who knows how old Jacob was when he said this? When he said, and I was as strong as the day that Moses sent me to spy out the land. He was 85 years old. He was sent out when he was 40. And he's saying, I'm just as strong right now as I was when I was 40. Now, either he's delirious, crazy, losing his mind. And I've always wondered, or is he being literal? And then when you Google like 80-year-old strong man, you're like, whoa, I think he might have been literal. When I look at some of these guys that are 80, 70, some even 90, and they're stronger than me, I'm like, whoa, what steroids are they on? No, I'm just kidding. But it's possible. So, of course, don't just learn a bunch of Bible. Let's work on our health and our strength. We already read Joshua 1. It says, be strong and very courageous. You know, but it says that, you know, Samuel, that he grew. He grew in front of the Lord and was in favor with both God and man. And it says in Luke 2:52 that Jesus increased in wisdom. How did he do it? Probably through God's word. I mean, he was the word, but he also read the word. It says that he grew in stature. Obviously, Jesus wasn't a guy who just took a donkey everywhere. He walked everywhere, even though he could have if he wanted to. Why did he do that? Probably to give him more strength, because he knew that what he was going to do was going to be hard. Walking this distance, walking that distance. He knew that being on a donkey is not going to be the best thing for him. So he just walked everywhere. Maybe to get some prayer out of the way. Maybe some meditation out of the way. Remember, Joshua says if you meditate day and night, hey, then you're going to have good success. Why? Because when you meditate on God's word, you're going to start seeing things that help you be successful. So what can you do to grow in favor with God and man? Here's just three things. Number one, this is just obvious, obey God's word, and you can be like Jesus, and not just grow in wisdom, not just grow in stature, but grow in favor with God and man. Because when you're obeying God, the Bible says in Proverbs 16:7, when a man's ways please the Lord, you guys heard this before, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. You're like, man, I got this guy that really hates me, what do I do? Start obeying God. Start seeking God. Start getting up early. Start praying. Start pleasing God. Start reading your Bible. If you don't have a schedule, hey, talk to me. I can give you a 90-day schedule, a 120-day schedule, a 30-day schedule, a one-year schedule, a six-month schedule. And if you want to save time, just download the Olive Tree app. That one has like 20 different schedules you can get on. And if none of them do it for you, then I guess just read a chapter from every book of the Bible. That'll keep you from being idle. Just saying. And so, of course, obeying God will help you to be in favor with God and man. Being a humble and wise person will help you to be in favor with God and man. Why? Proverbs 11:2 says this, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. What is lowly? Being humble. What does that do? Well, it gives you wisdom, because humble people please God. And when you're pleasing God, guess what? He makes your enemies to be at peace with you, and he gives you wisdom. And let's just be honest. Let's just be honest. I love guys that are smart. That's why I listen to Pastor Anderson. I love guys that are valuable, and what makes them valuable is not how much money they have. What makes them valuable sometimes is how much knowledge they got. Because wisdom is the principal thing. Nothing can be compared to it according to Proverbs. Nothing. And so if you want to be a valuable person, what are these guys, these guys that are part of the, what is it like, the manly club? What are they called? Not those guys. Those guys aren't manly. It's the other guys that want, the alpha guys. There's a name for the alpha guys. What is it called? Not MGTOW. The manosphere. Those guys, the manosphere. What do they always talk about? Guys, if you want to get some chicks, you need to be a high value man. They're kind of right. See, the best lies are half right and obviously filled with lies. What do I mean by that? Because think about it. If you do want God to bring you that woman, right, that you've been praying for, then you know what? Yeah, you probably do need to focus on being a high value man. But here's what I mean by high value man is being a man with high values. Amen. I'm not talking about a guy that makes 100, because they try to tell you what a high value man is, but they really can't like get down. Oh, a guy that does at least $100,000 a year. At least $100,000 a year. What would you say about, you know, six pack abs? Yeah, six pack abs, you know, $100,000 a year, and drives his own car, you know, has a nice car. Nice career. Yeah, that's a high-value man. Yeah. Guys, you need to aim to be a guy that makes $100,000 a year. If you want to get the girls, you got to make $100,000 a year. You know, you got to have that job. You got to have that body. Now pay me $1,200 more and I'll give you more tips. That's what I've seen and heard from the man of spirit, the fresh and fit crowd, the Andrew Tate crowd. But he charges $50 a month to rip you off and teach you how to be a high-value man. But it's true, if you want God to bless you with these things, yeah, you should be a high-value man. But this is what I mean. Once again, having a lot of values. Because when you have, when you're obeying God, you know, when you have values, He's going to make your enemies to be at peace with you. That's a good thing. It's a very good thing. And when you're obviously somebody who has wisdom, you're going to get wisdom because you're pleasing God, because you're obeying God. When you're good in His sight, He'll give you wisdom. And guess what? Hey, that's one of the things that I love about our pastor is he's very wise. He studies a lot. I love listening to him and Pastor Shelley. He preached for almost an hour and a half, but to me it felt like the typical service time. He's like, how long do you think I went? I don't know. An hour? Then I chop up the video. I'm like, an hour and a half? Okay, an hour and 20 minutes. Now I know why he was asking. But that's something that we should all aim to do. And here's another way, if you want to be in favor with God and man, you need to learn to serve others. You need to learn to serve others. Where did I get that from? From 1 Kings 12:4. This is where Solomon's son is asking, like, hey, how should I rule? You know, he's trying to figure out the best way to rule. Because they're coming to him saying, hey, your dad was too strict. You know, he gave us, like, too much stuff to do. Stuff that, it's not fair. Lighten the burden. And this is what it says. He says, thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore make thou grievous service of thy father and his heavy yoke which you put upon us lighter. He's saying, listen, give us a break. You know, make it louder. And we will serve thee. We will serve thee. It's natural. It's natural to just be grateful when people do things for you. True or false? Not all the time. Sometimes the more you do for people, hey, later on, you know, they end up just despising you for whatever wicked reason. But that's the thing about serving is that when you serve people that are actually people that care, you know, they will appreciate you. And that's what we should aim to do, whether you get appreciated or not. Because at the end of the day, whatsoever good thing you do, the same should receive of the Lord, even if that person doesn't do it back to you. So keep doing right, keep obeying God, keep growing your wisdom. How do you grow your wisdom? Obviously through the Bible. There's a nice book that helps you, the book of Proverbs. That'll help you, you know, to grow in knowledge, good knowledge. And obviously, last but not least, the S, seek ye first the kingdom of God. The A, always pray. The G, go ye therefore and teach all nations. And obviously the other one is always grow. And the N, you probably already know where I'm going with this. It's not forsaking the assembling of yourselves. In other words, never stop going to church. When I realize, hey, when I get up early and pray, when I get up early and read my Bible, you know, when I'm constantly praying throughout the day, you know, when I'm doing my best to win people to the Lord, you know, it's like I kind of notice that life ain't so hard. Those things are hard, But it seems like if you take care of these little hard things, because Jesus made it very clear to endure hardness, obviously it was the Apostle Paul who said that, but God can take care of the harder things. And literally going to church sometimes can pay. Literally pay. Look what it says in, I already read it in Hebrews 10:25. But what I mean by that is that, hey, listen, you guys have no idea just how much being faithful means a lot to God. And I'm telling you, if it weren't for my faithfulness, I wouldn't have been blessed like I've been blessed throughout the years. And one of the biggest blessings I've ever received, which was a trial in my opinion, it was a 24-hour trial, but it was still a trial, is I ended up just getting the best van I could get my hands on that I can afford. Nothing fancy. I still drive it. It's beat up, but whatever. You know, I love it. It's paid off. The best vehicle is the one that's paid off. Amen. And runs. Even if the doors don't open. But still, man, my wife calls me up at work. You're not going to believe what happened. What happened? The van broke down. The van broke down? You mean the one that we literally just got? The one that we just financed like less than, what, 90 days ago? What's going on? It's leaking everywhere. I'm like, man, we could barely afford this van. You know, I'm trying to do my best to provide for my family. I'm working for a contractor. I'm working for Cox Communications, their contracting side, which doesn't pay almost anything. And I'm just like, whoa, what do you mean it's broken down? It was a nightmare. We just got the vehicle. I still owe $16,000 on it. I'm just thinking, what in the world am I going to do? And I just said to myself, I don't know what's going to happen, but one thing I know is going to happen tonight is I'm going to church. Amen. That's one thing that's for sure going to happen tonight, regardless of anything else. I'm going to go to the Wednesday night service. I'm going to be there because it's the right thing to do, and everything else can just, I'll deal with it later. So it was what it was. She called somebody to help her out. I believe it was Mrs. Anderson. She goes to get her. It was a hot day. It was in the summer. Goes to get her, grabs her, but they were able to somehow go into some mechanic shop that was near her, just basically limp it in there. And so they took it. She got picked up, went home, and then sure enough, another church member calls my wife and says, hey, hate to bug you, but can you give me a ride to church? Sure enough, she's like, I would love to give you a ride to church, but I need one too. And she's like, what do you mean? Hey, my vehicle's broken down. Wow. The reason I called you is because mine just broke down. It's in the shop. So is mine. Sorry, can't help you. So then I get home, and I have one vehicle, and I use it for work. One seat, so I couldn't take anybody else. So I did what, hey, I would always do, regardless of what's going on. Took a shower, got my suit on, and just drove to church by myself with no family, feeling like crap. Like, what the heck? And I said, Dad, if you've ever been there, you know what I'm talking about. It's not a good feel when you can't provide. It absolutely sucks. So my wife already told me the mechanic quoted like, what, $5,000? Is that what they quoted? $4,000? $3,000? They quoted whatever. I barely have $1,200 in the bank. So I'm thinking, well, I guess we got to save some money, or I got to figure out another way to make extra money, because I was maxed out on my hours at work. I was constantly working 6 days a week, sometimes 7 days a week, but they barely paid anything, so I really couldn't save anything. And the only reason I even got this vehicle, because it was from a dealer, they said they checked it, they said it's good to go. I don't have the ability to take it to a mechanic to look at it, but I just said to myself, you know what? God knows that we're not buying this vehicle because we just want a new vehicle, and it's not even a new vehicle either. You know, it has 80,000 miles on it, selling it for 16. So I'm like, hey, we need it because, hey, we outgrew the other vehicle, ended up getting it, financed it for 7 years or whatever the case may be, just did what I had to do to get a vehicle for my family, and then now it's broken down, doesn't even work, leaking everywhere, whatever. So I go to church, I'm doing my thing, I'm happy to be there, it's lifting me up. Then right afterwards, I didn't want to go home to face my family. I'm like, forget this. I don't want to look at my kids and not tell them what's really going on. I just don't want to deal with my family right now. So I went straight to my shop, which was like 3 minutes away, in my work vehicle, in my suit, just started to chop away. And I'm like, you know what? Forget this. It's like, I'm going to read my Bible right now. I'm going to just read the book of Psalms and just continue one by one reading. This stuff can wait. In an hour, I was planning to read for an hour. I'm like, forget these cables. Then I start reading. And a minute into it, I start getting a phone call. And I'm thinking, who the heck is calling me right now? So I looked at it. I'm like, oh, it's such and such. I wanted to hang up so bad because I wanted to read my Bible. But then I'm thinking, man, I don't want to be a jerk. It's kind of late. I don't want to call them at 10. So I decided to just pick it up. So I picked it up and they're like, hey, what you doing? Nothing. I'm at the shop, bro. What you doing at the shop? I'm just reading my Bible. I'm about to do some cables. Just get ready for the next day. You know, whatever. And he's like, oh, I heard what happened to your van. I'm like, yeah, that's pretty sucky, bro. He's like, that guy just sold me a lemon. But what can I do? And he's like, don't worry about it, man. I got you. He's like, what do you mean you got me? I got you. How much is it going to cost to fix it? Well, from what I know, it's like $4,000, $3,000, $4,000 or something. And he's like, I got you, bro. Don't even worry about it. You know, he's like, I'll pay for it. He's like, bro, I will pay you back as soon as I can. He's like, nah, don't worry about it. It's a gift. I don't want you to pay me back at all. Just tomorrow, tell your wife to call the whatever mechanic, to tow it, wherever, and get it fixed. And then sure enough, it was what it was. You know, he ended up paying for it. A week later, he's back in service, and it's been a blessing ever since, right? That thing does not break down. It runs like new. I love that van to death, and I'm never going to get rid of it. And when I'm dead and gone, bury me in that van, please. Just stick me in it, big hole in the ground, pay extra if you have to. I have a $1.5 million insurance, $500,000, whatever it takes to bury me in that van. And then when people are like, what's the deal with the van? You tell them the story behind the van. You tell them, oh, let me tell you. All I got to say is never stop going to church. Amen. Never stop going to church. Let me tell you the story. And so I wonder what would have happened if I didn't go to church that night. Think God would have blessed me? I think not. But that's not the only time that I've seen people miss out on these opportunities. And maybe this will embarrass Ramon, maybe it won't. But he's a humble dude. He can handle it. But I quickly got to kind of mention this. This will be it, and then I'm done. But here's the deal. Ramon was not my first choice. Second choice? Nah. Third choice? Nope. He was number four. The three people in front of him, I mean, they're all good. I would have been happy with either one. But the biggest thing is that the other guys had preaching experience. Ramon had no preaching experience. So I'm not trying to be selfish, but just for the record, Ramon was my number one choice. I wanted him right away. But I wasn't going to be super selfish because Pastor like, hey, whoever you want, I don't care. Just let me know. And then I'll either give it a thumbs up or a thumbs down. So I didn't want to just be selfish. I'm like, well, you know what? Ramon pretty much has everything this dude has, except Ramon. I don't know if he can preach. And we need somebody that can go preach in Tucson or preach somewhere else or preach behind this pulpit. And this person has preached before. So I'm thinking, you know what? You're asking me what I think we should do. We should get Mr. Number One. You know, but I said, I don't think he's going to take it because he makes a lot of money and I don't think he wants a pay cut. You know, but I don't know. Maybe he'll say, hey, it's better to help pastor win billions of people to the Lord or get the gospel to billions of people than to go do whatever. Not that our job is like the super special job. Everybody has God's will for their life. Whatever you're doing, that's God's will for you. Hey, the ministry is what you make of it. And obviously going out there and winning souls, it doesn't matter what you do in life. Just win souls and you're super valuable in this world. You're a high value man. Amen. So sure enough, I called this person. Person told me exactly what I thought he was going to say. Nah, bro, I make this much. If you guys can't match it, I'm good. It's like, hey, no worries. Just wanted to make sure. So then the next person that we wanted or that I thought would be a better fit because I wanted Ramon from the get-go, but the second person that I brought up, I'm like, I think this guy will benefit us because he can do this. He can speak Spanish. He's preached before. Hey, we need somebody who loves video editing. He's constantly walking around with his black magic camera everywhere. And I say, you know what? What do you think of such and such? And he said, no way. He's like, yeah, that's what I was thinking. Are you thinking what I'm thinking? Yep. He misses too much church. Too much church. He's a Sunday morning only dude. And I'm like, yeah, that's what I noticed. But I thought maybe if we tell him, hey, man, we need you, you know, maybe he would just realize, yeah, I need to go to church more and kind of like help him out. My pastor's like, no, I don't want to find out the hard way that he really don't want to be here. It's like, you know what? I just want to throw it out there. Just so I can feel comfortable with it that I brought him up. And he's like, I like him, this and that, great attitude, but he misses church way too much. Forget it. I'm like, all right, because we would have matched his pay. And he probably would have made a little more, too, because guess what? It is what it is. you know, we provide, you know, other benefits as well. So we would have gave him what he made at work, gave him probably better hours, but we would have let them just work as many hours as possible. Then we had a third guy that I'm just thinking, hey, this is my option in case we can't really afford anyone right now because of the drama that we're going through. And it's like, yeah, I like him too, but they miss too much church also. It's like, yeah, I'm just throwing it out there because I don't want to regret not bringing it up. But I was thinking the same thing. They miss the church a little too much. I was just thinking this person probably, you know, would accept, you know, less, but that's probably because he's probably making less or whatever the case. Then finally it came down to Ramon, and Ramon was a unanimous yes. But if it would have been a Sunday morning only, he would not be here right now. I guarantee you that. And even if he was a Sunday morning, Sunday night, but no Wednesday night, he wouldn't be here either. That's a fact. And even though, yeah, we're not Cox Communications, Ramon, do you like working here? Did he like go to the bathroom or something? He's in the bathroom. Are you serious? Anyways, I'm trying to beat Pastor Shelley's time, so I guess I can't do it anymore. All that to say this, I wonder how many people that decided to just say church is important but not that important caused God to say, okay, well, I can't bless you like I wanted to. Because when you see the people in the Bible that miss church like Thomas, he is eternally known as who? Doubting Thomas. Because he missed a church service, and boy, did he miss a good one. And that is my biggest fear, is that if I miss church, God is going to say something that would have helped me with whatever situation I was going through, only so later he can say, hey, this is why I said not to forsake the assembling. Because it's dangerous, and we need more church, not less church. And that's why I'm not really so hot about jobs that make you miss church. But if that's you, hey, let me know and I'll fast with you to try to get something better. And I've been there. I've done that. I got the t-shirt. I know how hard it is, you know, to just say no to making extra money, you know, because it's tempting. You know, especially when we got a big family. I get it. You know, but I did everything in my power to just never miss a church service. And that's why I even took my last job. Because they're like, oh, no, you'll completely have Sunday Mondays off. Wednesday nights we'll let you off early. And they knew I was serious, but I was a good employee. I never complained, never had an attitude, did everything they wanted me to do. But I said, hey, listen, I can't miss Wednesday nights. You know that. I got to be there Wednesday nights. No worries. And then one day she gives me these jobs that are just a nightmare on a Wednesday night. So I called back and I'm like, boss, hate to tell you this, but this job's a nightmare. You know, and I'm not going to lie. I'm pretty upset that I have to miss church. It's like, is there anybody that you can get out here? Let me see what I could do. Well, guess who she ends up sending? The co-owner to come help me out. So I see the big, beautiful truck roll up and I'm like, yo, what are you doing here? I'm helping you get to church. Now let's go. What do you need? Where's the tap? What's the situation? Everything's good. The tap's over there. Go fix that. I'm fixing the wiring. Where's your equipment in the vehicle? Dispatch already has the serial numbers. Hey, it's all good. Just plug and play. I just need somebody to fix that. What, I'll fix this so I can get out here in time. No problem. Spends an hour with me. Hey, I'm done. Plug everything in. Get your butt to church. Yes, sir. Chances are that, hey, if you're one of those that just Sunday morning only and you're stuck with a job that makes you miss church, I would start praying. Only you truly know whether you can get out of it or not. I don't. God doesn't. But I'm going to tell you right now, we should be at church as much as possible. And maybe you can say, well, I do go once in a while. I do go once a week. You're missing out is what I got to say. You're absolutely missing out. And I'm just here to help you out. And I'm not calling you out. I'm just saying that this is the facts, that God does not want us to forsake it. So, hey, just start with prayer. That's what I did. When the other job wasn't paying the bills, that's all I said. God, this job isn't really paying the bills. You're going to have to hook me up or you're going to look bad. I'm not going to look bad. You're going to look bad because I'm working 70, 80 hours a week. And that's all they can pay me. They can't pay me more. They can't afford more. So either you give me a better job or as soon as I start missing bills, you're going to look bad, not me. But ever since we've been married, Joan, we've never missed a bill, have we? We've never had to beg for money or anything, have we? Just coming to church, people find out just naturally when there's a need, people step in and help you with that need. And you guys want to know how that guy knew that my vehicle was screwed up? Because it was his wife that called my wife asking for a ride. And why did she call my wife asking for a ride? because we have helped there in the past to come to church when their vehicle broke down in the past. So I don't think that's a coincidence whatsoever. I didn't tell anyone. That day I went to church, it was in my heart, it was bugging me. I didn't tell a single soul what was going on. And yet this guy just happened to find out because he called his wife and he said, ask Mr. Girl, she can take you to church, let me know what she says. Hey, she came, her vehicle broke down. What do you mean? Hey, he says that it's not working, they don't know what's going to happen, they don't know what the deal is. And then he calls me, finds out about it, has some extra cash, gives it to me. But would that have happened if I would have missed church? Probably not. So all that to say this, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Pray all day throughout the day. You drive here, you drive there. Keep it going. Keep pleasing God because that's what the Bible says. It says the prayers of the upright are his delight. And last time I checked, we're not here for us. We're here for God. Didn't Revelation said that for his pleasure, everything is created? We're created to bring him pleasure. So get your mind off of you, put it on God. When you pray, even if you pray for the dumbest things, it makes God happy. That prayer of the upright is his delight. So that's all I can tell you. And the soul winning, I can't obviously tell this place enough that we got to keep it going because you guys keep it going. You know, and of course, with everything else, just do everything you can. We want you for the long haul. We want you as long as possible. So if you can, start thinking about your health. I know Brother Corbin, hey, he's got some group going on. That motivated me to try to get in shape. And it's going to be embarrassing if he gets in better shape than me and now I'm the one that's out of shape. So think about that because it will help you just like it helped the men in the Bible. And obviously, as I said, the end is never, never stop going to church. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for all that you've done. Thank you for this people, Lord. We can't thank you enough for Faithful Word Baptist Church. Obviously, Father, Lord, we are just excited that everything went well with Pastor and no issues arose. And we ask you now, dear Lord, to just bless us, bless him, bless everyone here. And we ask you to do this in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, ladies and gentlemen, take your hymnals, please. Go to hymn number 261. Hymn 261, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Hymn number 261 begins, O soul, are you weary and troubled? Hymn number 261, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Sing it out together now, 261.
O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life for abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face. The things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting, he crossed and he followed him there. Over us sin no more, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely
sing tonight, we are dismissed.
I'm going to be tired.